216 on the front.
What is the role of dissidents in East European societies?
I think that the role of dissidents in the different East European countries is rather parochial and peculiar to the respective country. And I don't think that we can really compare the Hungarian dissidents, say, to the Polish one. First, because it's much less important. And second, because it's different indeed. So, well, generally, one would suppose that the dissidents are the most radical elements in a political scene in an East European country. And it's generally so. They are the most outspoken, and they are the only ones who are overtly criticizing or even politically attacking the system. This is true of us as well. But I think we are playing a very peculiar role, which perhaps should be explained a bit. I'm alluding to the fact that because we are the only ones who speak openly and sometimes loudly about contentious political matters, we are used, and we are glad to be used, by different political groups to voice their opinions. And sometimes political debates between otherwise well-established and quite official groups representing tendencies of opinion are taking place through us, and the views of some reformist groups, which are quite within the official framework of the system, are appearing in the underground press we are publishing.
So you are channels of information and debate rather than a unified political opposition?
Yes, this is the most conspicuous role, I think, and the most important role in the present we are playing. And I won't characterize our group as a political movement. We are too small for it and too peculiar for that. And well, this might change one day, but for the moment, I think that we are like an information channel for people otherwise unable to confront their views in a finally still dictatorial system.
Can you describe some aspects of the party's militarization of society in Hungary today?
Well, if we are taking the term of the militarization of the society through the party as an active term, as something which is surprisingly and only in the last time happening, that would be false. But there is all the same an invisible and increasingly important phenomenon of some, well, militant young groups of people who are not anymore in the traditional way indoctrinated through the by now quite obsolete ideology of the party, but they are attracted by the militancy and military glamour of some associations and organizations like the Hungarian Alliance for the Defense of the Homeland, like the Young Guard, like the Guard of the Young Pioneers, and similar organizations were sporting and other facilities, and the military sports are offered to these young people, and they find some identity in these rather apolitical groups the ideology of which is nothing else than some sort of crude nationalism and with a whiff of yobbish rudeness and nastiness, which sometimes appear quite frightening.
Is there any life left in Marxist-Leninism ideology inside the Hungarian party today?
Well, if we are speaking of whether there is any life left in the Marxist-Leninist ideology within the party, first we should ponder whether there is still such a thing as the party, as an organization. We know the party as the super government. We know the party as a body of public administration above any sort of control. But the life, and not only the ideological one, of the party cells, etc., is dried up. It doesn't exist anymore. It has become completely formal. And the few faithful who still remain are complaining of that quite loudly sometimes.
To what extent does the party still use harassment and coercion, like secret police raids and so on, in Hungary today?
I think to a rather large extent, but not in the clumsy and brutal and silly way our neighbours are using it. What I know, of course, best is the police harassment of my closest friend, my fellow dissidents, which is a very selective, well-targeted activity, and where some groups are spared, some personalities, like myself, are largely spared of the crudest forms of harassment for different reasons.
Does the party still use harassment and coercion?
Well, the party still uses harassment and coercion and intimidation against dissidents and similar turbulent elements, but selectively, which means, furthermore, nowadays, that they are sparing the so-called well-known representatives of dissident thinking, but clamping down quite hard on activists and militants and those people who do the daily work of producing samizdat and producing what, after all, it's our work to provide information.
What has communism, now that the ideology is dead, what has communism left behind in Central Europe, in countries like Hungary?
Well, to assess what communism has left behind in Hungary and what remains still of Marxism-Leninism and of the whole set of beliefs connected to it, it's quite difficult, because on the surface I must say that Marxism-Leninism is quite forgotten. It's not only on retreat, on the wane, but on the defensive, but it's hard to find it at all. Still, I don't think that it hasn't left very deep marks on our political thinking and our attitude towards a very important number of social issues and problems of our daily life even. What I find slightly disturbing is that communism finally seems to have reinforced those aspects of our political tradition which existed before and which were always characterized to a very important extent by a resistance to liberal values, to a resistance to rational argument about political issues, to a reasonable debate about what is permissible and what's not. And, you know, this kind of political romanticism, which always characterized our part of the world, is curiously blended with something thing which is, after all, to be found in Marxism, because Marx himself was a romantic enemy of the modern age. And this part of his teachings, or this part of the halo of Marxism, still remains with us and makes it very difficult to people like myself, holding convictions which are largely seen as westernizing, international, too cerebral, too cool in a way, because for us traditionally, politics is a matter of passion.
How does someone, and what kind of people now, become party officials, full-time party activists? What's this process?
Well, I think that the method of appointing party officials and to refresh the party elite is still characterized by the same principle, the principle of co-optation. So, well, officials are not elected, as you know, and they are handpicked by the top. But and then they might be sent to a training course. They are encouraged to make evening courses in a university, and they'll undergo a very, very careful vetting. But these people are indeed a very different type from the manager, which is to be found in the state bureaucracy, different from the old ideologically motivated party activist. These people are just mere and pure bureaucrats, and realizing to perfection the idea of the bureaucrat which existed before only in the mind of Max Weber.
2018, take one.
What are the elements, main elements left behind by communism?
The main elements left behind communism are, after all, elements which are not peculiar to communism itself. They are elements of our tradition reinforced by it, and which don't pertain to the main body of Marxist teachings. They are anti-liberalism, a resistance towards rational debate in politics, a resistance towards moralizing in politics, and a resistance towards reasonable bargaining and a cool approach. Because for us, politics is first a matter of passion.